this is the great Grandmaster Melly Mel.
And this is Scorpio, show no shame.
And I'm Dynamite, the hypest man in the business.
And if you got ears, listen to 90.3 CKUT.
Faced with sickle cell anemia, the solution is in our blood. It's a matter of genetics. The more people from the Black communities who give blood, the better our chances to find compatible donors to help those affected by this disease. Faced with sickle cell anemia, we can't leave anyone behind. We have to donate. So don't wait. Book an appointment today at hemequebec.qc.ca because giving is in our blood.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the Black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Y'all gon' hate the day they made me king. From the north, applying pressure till they let my brothers in. I delayed my coronation to escape drama they do bring. Took some time to rip my karma, Hakuna Matata, I do sing. Battle scars, they made me stronger, don't trust my father's next to kin. Manifest by the imposter, the true Rasta's in the ring. I'm the coldest in the borough, all that frontin' never wins. Think you the boldest, don't move thorough, all that stuntin' gets you pinned. I fit the mold, I cannot grow it, I was destined to be king. Man, it's so about 311, I lost the count of my blessings. Was taught behind my back till they breathe silence like the wind. They be stalking in the chats like, what do my girl see in him? I don't fold under the pressure, I make diamonds when life stinks. Clean my roles to give you pleasure and add some value to what you think. They just do damage to feel big, I beat it up with good intent. You'll find good luck in my charms, Jamal's a walking talisman. She throw it back to let me in, I'm her throwback MCM. You get insulted, but she just hopes the magic never ends. Like, hey, y'all gon' hate the day they made me king. From the north, applying pressure till they let my brothers in. I'm from the cul-de-sac, ain't no holding back. If I'm towed and strapped, the scope's attached, fully loaded mag. Send you home to that, I'll handle that. If I'm serving packs, I found no hope in rap. And I own the chats, kicking down the doors where I know it's at. I'm holding that, ain't trusting these cats. Baby girl, what's your name? In this life, girl, what's your aim? Is there somebody that you claim?
Girl, I wanna know your name.
Baby girl, they call me Sane. And I love how you work that frame. I wanna set your soul aflame. I love it when we talk, and on my heart I feel the spark. Shine bright in the day, give me light when it get dark. I know you've been through things that will make it hard to start. I promise to give you love that's considered top of chart. When we are together, I don't wanna be apart. You're filling all the void that I feel in my heart. I know you've been through things that will make it hard to start. Girl, I wanna give you my all. Look in your eyes, I'm falling for you. You make me feel so brand new. You make my temperature rise. I'm falling for you.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and tonight's guest is a good friend of mine and someone who's done a lot of stuff in the community, so I'm going to try and sum it up as best as possible. He goes by Jamal Hussein. He has been surrounded with music by birth. Since birth, his father was a co-founding member of Montreal's popular Black Temple Sound crew, where Hussein also started playing steel pan in grade 5 with the Coronation Elementary School Steel Band, and later with Salah's Steel Pan Academy, which he still currently plays with. His passion developed so much that he invested money and time eventually into building his own home studio, establishing a record label called Sadistic Entertainment. And in today's do-it-yourself recording industry, the artist needs to understand that waiting for a major record label to find you will bring little success. Hussein understands that
that taking action in order to have the most, he understands that you must take action in order to have the most success. After his birth in 2014, Hussein took a break from music to focus on family life. He released 2120 Vision in April of that year and hasn't put on a project since. And after a work injury at the beginning of 2019, Hussein decided to return to school, but this time in the field of natural healing. He always had a pull towards natural healing and felt it was the right time to broaden his horizons. He studied under Mary Swain and Tetsuko School of Natural Therapies, learning shiatsu massage and other healing techniques. Today, he wishes to bring about a total care center or network where folks of color can feel comfortable with the result and know that their needs are in great hands. Health is wealth, and this life is expensive. Jamal Hussein, my brother, I've been trying to get you on for a while, but you do so much that, you know, you have a schedule of time and make sure that you have the time to be with us. Brother, thank you so much for being here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. Peace and blessings to the family listening abroad.
Yes.
It's great to be here.
Yes. Always. Well, you know, we're still in this, even though it's 2022. Happy New Year, by the way. All the best. Wishing you all the best for this brand new year. It's nice and shiny, and I'm just hoping that the shininess will be a reflection of things to come. How have you been during this pandemic? I mean, you know, not only have you moved into health and wellness, you also have a clothing line. You're promoting the vegan lifestyle. You do a lot, you know? So how has this pandemic affected you and your lifestyle?
Man, you know, just like everybody else, the pandemic came, you know, more or less like a shock. But I really had to take the time to reevaluate, you know, exactly what it is I want to do. Because like many of us out there, you know, I got laid off from, you know, a job I was doing for, you know, close to 10 years,
right.
Being at the airport. And, it just, you know, put things in perspective for me, just in terms of having control, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great feeling, you know, to wake up one day and it's like, yep, your job is terminated and it's up to you to figure out where you're gonna find the money to come up with all your utilities, your needs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people were stuck, you know, a lot of people were stuck. So I know I didn't want to be in that situation. And so really, even though it's tough, like I just decided that I really needed to build my own thing.
Yeah.
That can more or less withstand another pandemic should one, you know, happen in the future.
Should it be necessary to be self-sufficient?
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
And yeah. And also, I mean, like I was fortunate enough to take the time to go to school, you know, due to my work injury. That for me, that was just a sign, you know, like the universe was just giving me my time because I was about to go put in another 4 months straight, no day off kind of thing in the winter.
Yeah.
At the airport. And it was like, I literally got knocked in my head and was just like, hey, you need to sit down for a minute and focus on yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started going back to the things that I enjoyed as a kid or was attracted to as a child, you know. And, you know, some people would say there's a lot of taboo around it, but, you know, there's things that just interest you, man. Egyptian gods and, you know, tarot cards and stuff like that attracted me. You know, mm-hmm. I was always into horoscopes. So, you know, it was just great to really just tune into that type of energy, really, or help or use those mediums, those tools to really tap into the energy that I already have been tuning into.
Okay.
I was just unaware of it at the time.
All right. So for people who may not know, what are all these things that you're talking about, and what is this tuning in that you've been doing?
So, you know, as a child, I didn't know how to describe it, but I've been one who wouldn't, let's just say, my hands and feet were sensitive in a sense, you know?
Okay.
So I wasn't the kid that would take my shoes off in the sandbox kind of thing, run around really in the grass, because I didn't like the feeling of it, you know?
Okay.
Now that I'm older, I can say, oh, you know, I'm actually feeling like the electricity, the life of the grass, you know,
right,
in my feet. I can feel the current going through my body.
Right.
It was after my injury at the airport, when I went back, I noticed I was kind of sensitive. What happened was I got a concussion.
Okay.
Right? So with that came light sensitivity and a whole shebang of
side effects,
right, you know, that, yeah, occurred because of it. So when I went back, I just noticed that, you know, there's a lot of like electricity, you know, like the APU of the aircrafts, just mm-hmm. the electric current going around. You know, it was just really sensitive on my head.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I decided, okay, like, let me start taking some workshops, you know, like some soul therapy workshops.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing a shiatsu massage an introduction to shiatsu massage.
Right.
And that's where I found out, you know, my instructor, Jenny Lee, she felt as though I was a natural, you know, somebody who has natural connection to energy.
Right.
My technique, you know, she felt was great. I had great presence. And, you know, massage work or energy work is really about the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was able to tune into the energy of the body. Like, I can feel, you know, where something might be depleted or something seems full, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to develop those skills.
That's interesting because being in tune with, well, I'm thinking about your injury, right? And you know when you watch those movies or you hear the documentaries of something happening to someone, and then they have all this range of, maybe they have a range of vision, a range of auditory, the auditory spectrum that has changed, the sense of touch that has changed. Like, it almost sounds like you subconsciously blocked off all of this stuff because you didn't understand it as a kid, and so it scared you, or it made you feel uncomfortable, and then you got this injury. And it's like it just flipped a switch in your mind whereby now you have access to all of these things that you didn't know you had, you didn't realize you had access to before. And how do you think it's aided you in the massotherapy work? Like, how does that change the way that you do the work?
It's funny because, just the way I approach my work now, it's always been out of love, out of, you know, out of care. I've always been in customer service. Those of you who don't know, like, my father is Jabi, you know, so he's owned, you know, quite a few restaurants over the years, from M&M on Queen on Victoria, sorry, all the way to Jamaica Way on Queen Mary, Jabi and LaSalle, and now he's currently running a Fusion Fitness,
mm-hmm.
a Fusion Kitchen, right, on Clermont. So I've always been, you know, like a part of customer service ever since I was young. You
right.
know, I remember handing out like my first flyers, all excited, just getting people to wanting to try the food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also witnessed my first disappointments. You know, I seen, you know, somebody two seconds later take that same flyer I gave them and threw it in the garbage.
Right.
Yeah. So as an 8-year-old kid, you know, I was open to the disappointment, the feeling of disappointment. Mm. I had to sit with that, you know, and be like, okay, you know, this, how does this make me feel? All right, not so great. It's not the end of the world. There might be others that might want to come into the restaurant and whatnot.
Yeah.
So with that, like, you know, I just took care in everything I did. So every job I would look for, it would be some way I can give back, you know. Right. So from working in the camps, to creating, you know, my own camp in a sense with one of my teachers, we created a camp called Bouncing Boys Back to Books. So the focus was to get 20 boys, their reading levels varied. So you had strong readers and some weak readers, from kindergarten to grade 6. We brought them together and we kind of used basketball as a motivation to help them to read. So 1 year I included music. They made their own music video and, you know, it was great, you know, it was a great experience. Just giving back, you know?
Yeah.
So my work today, like, that's all I aim to do, just give back. And, you know, now that I'm more or less, I'm more aware to, you know, the gifts I have, my ability to tap into energy, I'm just trying to give that back to the community as best as possible.
Okay. And, well, let's get the obvious question out of the way. Where's Hussein come from?
Right. So, yeah, Hussein came from my journey, you know, my government name, my birth name, Jamal Spence. I don't take anything away from the name I was given, whatnot. Whether we want to believe our last names are slave names or whatever the case is, I don't take away from the Jamal that was given to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I always knew I'm who I was, but along my journey, you know, my mom's a Christian, my dad is a Rasta. So as I was going along my journey, you know, I, you know, dabbled a bit in the Rasta faith. So my name at one point was Jamal with the H in there. And as I got more into rap music, I chose the name Lil Sane, Lilsane, you know, kind of the inspiration from like the movies You Got Serve and, the other rappers that were around, like Lil Wayne, Lil Zane, like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it was a lot of influence from there. So I started as Lil Sane, right? And my explanation was always, you know, oh, I'm just a little bit sane, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So moving from there, I dabbled in the Islamic faith, you know. And then when I was choosing a new name for myself, in a sense, I chose Hussein. It kind of has the same meaning as Jamal, but it also has good. Like, Jamal means beauty,
mm-hmm.
but Hussein also means good.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you, so, Hussein meaning Hussain, but you modified it.
That's right.
And you write it in a different way.
Exactly. So for the music purposes and also just knowing that I was on my journey, I modified the name, you know, to be more artistic. So Hussane, Hussein. And then the At-Talib came in really as, At-Talib means seeker of truth. Wow. So that's what I added. That was really the title in a sense, you know. So I was going to keep Jamal At-Talib. That was going to be my new name in a sense,
mm-hmm.
my Islamic name. But as the artist, I went with Hussein At-Talib, someone who's still trying to understand themselves, because I knew my journey wasn't complete.
And seeking the truth as well.
That's it. So always seeking truth, always trying to grow. And then eventually, when my son was born in 2014, you know, I put on my last project prior to his birth. And since then, I reintroduced myself around 2018, 2019 as Jamal Hussein. So all the new music I put out is Jamal Hussein.
Okay. And why did you decide to drop the At Talib?
Because, as I say, At Talib is always going to be my title. I'm always going to be the seeker of truth.
Okay.
And, most people just know me as Sane or Jamal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just come... It's just going back to exactly who I am.
The
first name, in a sense. Right?
Yeah.
First, Jamal Hussein, that is me.
I've put a lot of thought into this, names, right? Because I think names are very sacred, and the fact that we have our original names ripped from our tongues, I always say, because our language was ripped from our tongues, therefore our names were also ripped from our tongues, not just from us as people. I find that it's very important for us to be intentional when we're choosing names for our children. And it seems like you put a lot of thought into naming yourself, in a sense. Where did that intention come from? Like, how did you decide that this is how I'm going to go about choosing my name? Even if it's just your artistic name.
Well, that's the thing. As you say, you know, names are important. And I just came across something the other day, either a video or something I was reading where, it was actually a live video of some of my colleagues in Toronto. They do tarot reading and whatnot. And they explained to the collective, of listeners, that some of us choose our name, you know, before we come here, in a sense. So it's like we give our parents our name,
mm-hmm.
or we give that the person that names us is like we let them know who we are, in a sense. And it's true. Like, I always believe names are very important, especially going into Islam. That's where I learned, like, you know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to change names that he didn't really like the adjective or the meaning behind it, you know.
Right.
So if somebody's name was like, oh, this person, like, salty, like a salty attitude, for example, you know, you might change that name to, you know, sweet, you know, just something like that, you know. So I always just believed in giving good names. Even my son, like, I knew I wanted my son to be the leader of however many other children I have. If he's number one, like, he has a responsibility. I want him to be the chief. I want him to be the master.
Mm-hmm.
So his name is Saeed, you know,
yeah.
Saeed meaning chief. And, you know, he's really displaying those qualities, you know.
That is amazing, because he's imbuing the qualities of the meaning of the name that he was given.
Yes.
that's some deep spiritual thinking. I mean, you're giving him a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's also something that I envision, or something that I called for, because, you know, let's just say, like, around when I was 19 or 20, it's something that I knew was coming. I was like, okay, like, I can't remember if it came to me as a dream or it was just a download that just popped into my head,
mm-hmm.
like, randomly on the metro kind of thing. And it was just like, yeah, I just knew that, okay, by the age of 24, like, I was going to have my first child, but more importantly, my son. My son is coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just knew that from that download, it was just like, okay, you know, like, years pass, you know, I was probably 18 or 19 when I got that download, but years passed, and as I got closer and closer, you know, as I got deeper into Islam, I, you know, seen some names that kind of stuck out to me, in a sense, names that were just drawn to me. Yeah, we'll go around and, you know, like, normally when somebody is expecting, that's when they'll go around looking and choosing names, but as I was choosing my name, or choosing my title, in a sense, just the At-Talib part, mm-hmm. That's when I noticed other names, Shakur, Nazir, you know, Nuri, just other names, Imani, right? Mm-hmm. Just other names like that would stick out. And then, you know, I came across Saeed, and I was like, yeah, you know, it just even clicked. Now, like, it's bringing a smile to my face, in a sense, but it's just like, yeah, Saeed, like, I just knew, it has the
name
weight,
is
right?
Short, like, but it has weight to it. It has, yeah, like, gravitas. And yeah, then it's also an African name, right?
That's it.
It's, yeah, an African, yeah, Muslim name, which I had... I want to get into it with you, but we do have to take a break. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, you are listening to Soul Perspectives, and we are speaking to Jamal Hussein about his journey as an artist and then some. Keep it locked. You are listening to CKUT on 90.3 FM.
Let me hear you say R over everything. Respect. Power in multiple positions, man, is pimp set. Pops always did good like Chermont's expressions. I was pissed off as a youth, so I did not receive the lesson. Blinded by the truth like those pissed off at 9/11. So no more buying J's after 97. As a youth, he told me to focus on Zion. Used to be a cub, now I am a lion. I'm back to reclaim my throne. Step away from the pride rock scar. Young Simba is grown. Back to feasting on these beats when trees lit. You f*** around and you just might get thrown into the sea. I'm a boss, you better get that right. Two girls with me every night. One's music and the other is my Mary Jane. So when these f***s ask for commitment, I say I'm married, man. Winter time gets cold, catch a flight and go. I don't hide from snow, cause my heart done froze. I'm so 514, I'm so 514, that my eyes get low every time I smoke. Winter time gets cold, catch a flight and go. I don't hide from snow, cause my heart done froze.
Welcome to the dojo. I'm the king in the game, I don't really need promo. One time for the motto. Two fingers in the sky, red verb to my eyes closed. Three shots while the man posed. Bow drop like a band, I don't really need photos. Five speed on the road though. Six G's for the stick blow, sevens on the low though. No greed up in my code. Grand dreams for the keys that open up my doors. For my illegal downloads. Give tools to the youth, same life hacks that I know. Just a man with a big load. If I ever take a dump, y'all be stuck in a manhole. In a dream, I held nine scrolls.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviera de Prairie Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-Collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside.
Yes, 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 we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is a father a rapper, a health and wellness practitioner, a vegan food prep person as well. Please, thank you so much. I was about to say, please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Hussein. No, there's nobody to applaud you live and direct. Hopefully they're applauding you from wherever they are in the world. Hussein, Jamal Hussein, thank you so much for being here. Before the break, the last thing that we kind of touched on was names and the power of names. And while in the break, I love that how intentional you are with naming yourself artistically and then also naming your son. You named your son Saeed, which means leader or chief or king, depending on, where you're from off the continent. And I gave my son an African name. It's a Congolese name, Ntangu, spelled N-T-A-N-G-U, and it means the sun. So, the actual sun in the sky. And I got into a bit of a tiff with the mother of my child because his name sounds too African. And it's interesting because I'm like, but you black, though. And she's like, oh, it's going to cause problems. And I'm like, but you're black, though. Are you living in the same society that I'm living? It's not the name that's going to cause the problems. It's you black and you're not making a change. And anyhow, I just find it so ironic. And I've had this conversation with many people, people who I consider woke and the system needs to change. But yet still they're like, oh, I'm going to name my child Joe or Tom, or because you don't want him to have these experiences, these like racist experiences. And in my mind, I'm just like, how are you going to combat racism by doing colonialist racism?
Exactly.
How does this make sense?
Yeah.
What are we teaching our kids when we name them Joel and Peter and Paul and Tom and all of that, those so-called Christian names and mostly white names, until we get to the root of certain names? But like, how does that serve the freedom that we're trying to get as a people?
That's a great question, That's a great question. And I feel as though, it's a step backwards, right? It's a step backwards. There are many beautiful names out there, that are African or Semitic. There are very beautiful names out there. There are great names out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you are afraid of, the extremely African name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think of a meaning. Sometimes it could just start with a meaning.
Right.
And then you look up a meaning and then you just might find a name in a different dialect, in a different language that, might attract you. Oh, okay. This is Swahili. I didn't know this was Swahili.
Yeah.
This to me was actually, maybe Arabic or maybe, Latin or something.
Right.
Right. So sometimes it's just opening up yourself to who you actually are,
Mm-hmm.
It's really opening up yourself, stop trying to please others. Like it's 2022, stop trying to please others.
Yeah.
Really 2022, it's all about you. and with that, the number two, it's really about choice,
Mm-hmm.
Either continue to go with the old cycles or you can, be here to bring about something new.
Absolutely.
And I don't know about you, but I'm here to bring about the new.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. How has being a father modified the way that you move on this planet?
That one is tough. Because you know, prior to actually having the human in front of you, you know, you can build up all these expectations of, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to be the best father ever, you know, mm-hmm. I'll be the one that wakes up in the middle of the night and, you know, don't worry, honey, you can sleep, I'll make sure that bottle's ready, and, you know, and when the child actually gets here, it's like, you know, completely different story.
Right.
You know, what you saw may not actually be what it is. You know, mm-hmm. Some people have horrible times, some people have great times.
Right.
For me, it was really, it was a change just having my own child. Mm-hmm. I've always babysat, like, you know, my siblings, you know, like when I was 12, I had another set of siblings, like, born after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had some practice in a sense. And then when my sister had her her daughter, so I had my niece, you know, a couple years before I had my son. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of practice. You know, my mind was there. I was ready for it. But again, like, there was some unexpected things. There was a lot of sacrifices I had to make that I didn't think I would have had to make.
Right.
But there was a lot of sacrifices. I put music, you know, on the back burner for quite a while. And it's not to say that, like, the passion was gone. It was just, like, sometimes the inspiration wasn't there. Or, you know, after working a 9-to-5 and then coming home to take care of a child, like, you know, you don't have the energy to really sit down and want to create.
Yeah. Especially when the child is so small and still dependent on you, right?
Yeah.
Dependent on you for stimulation, education, love, comfort, and all of that stuff.
That's it. So, you know, and then there's a whole adulting aspect too, right?
Like,
so in the moments where you do have peace, well, what happens? Okay, you start thinking of, okay, bills and other things you got to take care of, you know,
right?
Making sure, or just planning your day for tomorrow, just so things are easier.
Mm-hmm.
So that peaceful time that you used to have, or that creative energy, that creative spark you used to have prior to having a child, sometimes, you know, I wouldn't say it vanishes, but it just, you know, the flame just dims a bit.
Right.
You know, you put the stove on low kind of thing. It's on simmer. And then, you know, when my son got older, after he turned one kind of thing, the flame was starting to, you know, turn up again.
Right.
And I remember, like, playing some instrumentals and him helping me come up with, you know, one of my songs that I put out a few years back, you know, Can't Waste Time.
Okay.
I just came up with, like, the little hook, you know, and, yeah, I'm like, can't waste time. I can't waste time. And then, like, my son was, like, shaking his head, like, nope, can't waste time. And this was at, like, one and a half years old, and he's there doing his little dance, you know? So
right.
I was like, all right, that's what I should roll with. And he's like, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, just moments like that will, you know, bring up the flame again, you know, give you a spark, inspiration.
Yeah. It is so...
What you do it for.
Come again?
You just remember what you do things for, you
mm-hmm.
know?
It's said that that our children are actually adults that come back to teach us something. They're ancestors, they're spirits, they're, you know, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but sometimes when I look at my son, the intelligence that comes through in his eyes, and even though he can't speak very clearly, you know, he can't formulate, like, really long sentences, everything is very short and it's very childlike, there is, like, this intelligence that I feel humbled by, and this memory that I'm like, how do you remember that? Like, we haven't read that book in months. Like, how do you remember that? And he'll ask for very specific things, you know? And he'll do Like, I look back on some of the videos that we took, and I'm just like, he is so focused on what he does. And I've never seen that in a child before. You know, like, when he does something, he wants to do it. And he does it until he gets it the way that he wants. You know? And I just find that children are... I feel like children are more intelligent today than they were 20 or 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That, I mean, yeah, as you say, you know, they're like adults coming back. They're old souls coming back, in a sense, you know. Some people might want to check out what an indigo child is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it said that, you know, these children are here, in a sense, to bring about the new. They're so much more enlightened than us, right? And yeah, they're just more in tune with their natural self, or the reason why they chose to be here.
Right.
Which is why they're able to, you know, decipher things quicker than us, or and really, you know, sometimes put us in our place. When you think about it, it's just like, you know better. Like, you know, sometimes we get disciplined by our children sometimes.
Yeah, and they do it in a much kinder way.
Exactly.
Than our parents.
Yeah, that's it. Much kinder. And, you know, some people say, like, children today have, like, no filter or whatnot. You know, some children have no filter.
Well, but... I feel like it's not that we didn't have a filter. It's that a filter was placed on us. Because our parents, like, if you think about slavery and you think about... you think about how that affected our parents, and especially your like, at least half of your parentage is from Jamaica, or from the Caribbean at the very least. And we're talking, like, I have a picture of my great-grandfather, so my father's grandfather. And my father's grandfather from Jamaica was a freed slave, or at the very least, born free. First generation, born free. That was not a long time ago.
No.
That was not, you know, 1,000 years ago, 200 years ago. That was like 120, 30 years ago. So if we're talking about, you know, 1890-something, my great-grandfather was alive or born, I don't remember his birthday, the generational trauma is only 3 people removed from me.
Yeah.
And so... Things like spanking, you know, it probably went from my great-grandfather taking a switch to my grandfather taking a belt to my father spanking me with his hand to me talking to my child and not spanking him if he does something wrong, but having a conversation, because I didn't like getting spanked as a kid, so why would I do that to my child? You know what I mean? And I think that we, as the quote-unquote newer generation, we want to do something a bit different. We don't want to impose our trauma on our children. And so our children, when they back-chat, quote-unquote, or back-talk to us as the adults, we're more like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Let's talk about this. Let's see where this is going. We're more curious than like, whoa, Lord, I was like, go get a switch, you know. Go get the belt in my room. You know, we're not as hot to do that. Because that, even though we may have gotten spanked as kids, we're not, like, we have our trauma and everything, but we're not as hot to do that to someone else.
Right.
You know, at least some of us. I know there are some people who are just like, oh, yeah, man, go in the room and get the belt. You know, it's on.
Yeah, and even that, like, you know, as you say, it's just some of us identify the trauma and don't want to pass it down.
Yeah.
While others, you know, just feel like, well, this is the solution as opposed to the root of the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So feel as though, okay, well, this was the problem solver, then I'm just going to continue to enforce what was enforced on me. And the cycle continues.
Not thinking about how bad that was. Like, it was really, really a terrible thing that our ancestors had to go through for nothing. Like, there was no little to no return. I mean, I was watching I think a YouTube video, or maybe one of the videos on Instagram, and they were saying about the cotton picking slaves, and they said that the slave that picked the most cotton, so that all the slaves had a quota that they had to meet. The slaves that picked the most cotton were the ones that everybody, that kind of set the standard for everybody. But in a logical world, you would think that the slaves that picked the most cotton would be the slaves that were treated the best. And in actuality, the slaves that actually picked the most cotton were the ones that were beaten the most severely by the overseer or the master, because it reinforced that nobody can get away from this punishment, right? So if the person who is second, third, all the way down to whatever number of slaves that they had, sees that even the one that is first getting lashes, and he knows that he's going to get lashes anyway, what is the result? He's going to pick that cotton. He's going to pick that cotton. Yes, massa. Yeah. You know, and those beatings were then passed on to their children, because as a preventative measure, I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Joy DeGree Leary and post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Yes, I heard.
Yeah. She did an interesting little video. Well, there was a video, I think it was extracted from a larger conversation, where she says, you know, black people are some of the only people that will, like, bad talk their kids, no matter how good their kids are. So there's two mothers talking about their children, and the black mother says to the white mother, oh, you know, your little Tommy, he's been doing so well in school, and he's been doing this and that, and she's like, and the white woman's like, oh, yes, you know, we're so proud of him, and blah, 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 blah. And then the white woman says, hold on, wait a minute. But your son is actually top of the class, and your son has excelled in sports, and he's this. And then the mother's like, oh, you know, he's a good for nothing, nothing like that. Ain't no, you know, he ain't gonna amount to nothing. And what Joy DeGree Leary says is that this has been ingrained in women since motherhood, since slavery, sorry. Because what happens is the master would come up to the slave mother and be like, oh, I noticed that your son has been doing really well. He's been picking a lot of cotton, or he's looking really strong, or he's looking really healthy. And she'd be like, oh, you know what? His brain is not good. You know, he really stupid. And like trying to basically downsell the child to the master so that she doesn't lose the child. So that the child doesn't get sold off to a plantation, or that the child doesn't get beaten. And sometimes they would beat the child before the master get a chance to beat the child, so that the child behaves in a certain way that the master would not find any reason to beat the child. And I mean, just think about any time that you or any member of your family got lashes. And it's like, if you think about it, the lashes were not necessary.
Yeah.
You could have just talked, like, you could have just talked to me.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, you know, we're unpacking a lot right now, but I mean, it's coming from far, and we're realizing more and more that we don't need to continue this cycle of violence against our own children.
Yeah.
Even though we know that the police are still there and they're still doing their foolishness, but we are learning to do better.
Yeah, and we must.
We must learn to do better. We must. Went off on a bit of a tangent that has led us to, now we have to take a little break. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time this evening, we are speaking to Jamal Hussein, who is a father, rapper, health and wellness practitioner, and he also does vegan food prep. So we're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back from the break. Keep it locked. You're listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Ain't no price to chase unless it's gold. Ain't no time for loving that's cold. Unless you're talking real estate, then I'm sold. I need about 100 acres.
What for?
Managed by 100 women.
That's cold.
See, I gotta build a nation. And if I gotta use my blood, I'm all for it. Let's go. Who's saying, yeah, I'm back now? Should have been a king, but I'm stuck in a trap house. To be a slave living by the white mouth. Yeah, I swear I'm a grave, this time I won't back out. I smoke kush till I pass out. And these school-fed nonsense, so you know I had to tap out. Knowledge of self, so I'm about to black out. The system shit, gotta take the trash out. Represent from my bros in a box and those who had their backs broken, throwing on the rocks. I'm something special, you could tell by the locks. I'm back like Marley Christ, river roots on the rocks. This for those with no shoes for their socks. I won't be talking Legos while I'm building blocks. I'm about to vote change if I'm forced to take shots. I get 25 to life when I face the cops. I need 25 lives just to sacrifice. Each one live out a life what I see in these eyes. My role wasn't suffice just to live behind blinds. My goal is right in sight, but I fucked up the prize. Time and time when I close my eyes, I look back at all the times when I rolled the dice. Almost hit 7-Elevens, but like more than twice. Knocked down by two steps, worth a roll with nines. Got us in barricades, chasing gold with blinds. Kanye's the new slaves in the West, you'll find. Daddy long is for his kids, hopes to shorten the grind. Baby mom don't understand, so in the courts he'll find. Trying to get it right now, but it's overtime. 100 days with no breaks, guess I'll fall behind. Yes, hard to maintain with a sober mind. You don't understand pain till you lose your mind. On my mom's, gotta hold it down for the moms. My anchor that weathers every storm, that's how I stay strong. Hold that baby tight in your arm, never should your burial spawn. No, I gotta control the life I'm giving. Won't take my last breath till I complete my mission.
I cry when I you die. I cry when I you die. I cry when I you die. If you hate it when we have to tell our youth bye. I cry when I you die. I cry when I you die. I cry when I you die. If you hate it when we have to tell our youth bye. No umbrellas when I walk in rain. Holding up my head, let him cry when man feels the pain. Burning on a split for an extra lift is why I keep the flame. These visions of my death, the only thing that seems to keep me sane. Every time a black boy dies, man, I hear his name. Darius was a light, but y'all dimmed him like a candle flame. If I could trade a night, I'll trade them all to give him back his days. Look our mamas in the face and tell them both that it's okay. I see my brother in your eyes, you won't fade away. The Lord blessed me with a son only I could raise. Making moves for these youths, I won't hesitate. Black woman, don't cry and let that resonate. I cry when I you die. I cry when I you die. I cry when I you die. If you hate it when we have to tell our youth bye.
Yes, 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 we're back once again. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I am here with Jamal Hussein, a.k.a. Hussein at Talib, a.k.a. Jamal at Talib, a.k.a. Jamal Hussein at Talib. But now he's Jamal Hussein. If you know, now you know. So yes, you had in 2019 you suffered a work injury. We spoke about that a bit earlier, where you had a concussion, and you decided to move towards the field of natural healing. And I know that you have, I don't know if you actually have a center, but you do provide massotherapy services, and you also do vegan food prep for folks.
Yes, I do.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so basically, as a massage practitioner or a holistic practitioner, I want to be able to provide the services to people in need. So I have access to the school where I learn. So that's an NDG. We have ample studio space there. I have a studio space in LaSalle. And potentially working on something in the West Island.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I just have different locations where I can go to provide the services. or I can also come to your home, and you can get services you need. Yes, at, towards the end of, well, summertime of 2021, I started my healthy blend-ups, Jamaroo's healthy blend-ups.
Okay.
So I started making smoothies, fruit and vegetable smoothies, and I was providing them at Fusion Caribbean Kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah, so as time got colder, we moved into the winter, I decided that, you know, I would switch the focus in a sense to food, but specifically like meal preps, lunch boxes in a sense. So I call them like the lunch box, the gym bag, you know. So okay. It's like a lunch combo, and the gym bag is basically like, you know, your reps, your you know,
yeah.
I just took out the A in a sense, right?
Yeah.
So repetition, meals, think of it that way. So, you know, you can order 3 meals, 5 meals, 7 meals, or even more.
Mm-hmm.
But basically you have the vegan options is what I want to focus on.
Yeah.
Especially for the new year. But I do offer non-vegan options because I know not everybody is there yet or not necessarily want to
become vegan. Yeah.
Not. But, you know, you have a healthy option in a sense. Yeah, just a healthy alternative for food. With that said, yeah, 2022, the focus will be majority vegan meals towards the end of the year. But yes, you can always hit me up for some catering or just small orders. I'll be happy to provide some meals for you.
And how did you, why did you decide to go into catering vegan meals?
Well, it's just funny because, you know, as I said earlier, you know, my dad had restaurants and whatnot. And I would say that would always be like the job I left the most in a sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just family businesses sometimes, you know, people know they don't always work out in one's favor in a sense.
Right.
So, you know, there's always friction and, you know, just trying to bring about innovation or whatever it is can cause conflict amongst family members.
Yeah, of course.
So I decided to, you know, just venture out and just do other things, especially just working in the camps, just always being involved in the community however I can. And, yeah, whenever I did need, like, let's say the money aspect, you know, I went to the airport, for example, was making good salary, but still was able to interact with, interact with clients and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, my dog.
Oh, okay.
just my dog. That's another thing, like, just animals, learning to understand animals. That's something I set as a goal. Always been attracted to, like, fish and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because my sign is, like, a Cancer or whatnot, so I would have my aquariums around me.
Okay.
But as a kid, is like, I like dogs, but, you know, I was a little afraid of them. So as an adult, is like, okay, let me actually understand the animal.
Okay, I can tell you another story about dogs and why, because, you know, stereotype, black people don't like dogs, right?
Yeah.
But that, again, that's something that dates not only to slavery, but, like, if you look at the 1950s and the 60s, whenever they wanted to control us when we were protesting, there's two main things they used. They used fire hoses, and they used trained German shepherds on us.
Yeah.
And Dobermans.
Yep.
And just seeing those images alone, like, I laugh at the pictures of, and video of, like, you know, and the caption reads, look, he left his mother, or he left his wife and children, And then you're watching the video and you see this dog running from nowhere. But the person saw it way before it ever reached the camera. You know what I mean? And it's like, this is trauma that has been brought down from slavery days, but then it's also been continued perpetuated by police in as late as the 1960s. And I'm sure that, you know, if we do enough research, click, clack, clack, Google, we can find images of black people being violently attacked by dogs, by canine units. So I can understand that, you know, as a kid, that trauma is passed on from parent to child without even necessarily knowing, this is where this come from.
Yeah, and I think, like, in a past life, I was a slave because I did an exercise with Mary Sloan, and may she rest in peace. And, I had to tune into, like, my ancestral heritage and whatnot, and it's like, you know, I saw myself, like, on the plantation, and, you know, I was, like, looking up. I was kind of, like, taking a break for a second, you know, like, wiping the sweat off my eye kind of thing. Wow. And I was just looking around, and, you know, I saw the overseer, like, on the horse approaching my way. And I looked on the other side, and all I see is just, like, my brothers and sisters just slaving away. And, you know, like, I didn't really stay too long in that moment because I felt like, you know, the punishment was coming.
Yeah, it was dangerous.
But I did have that feeling, and I'm pretty sure, like, you know, I was someone who ran away or something like that, you know,
definitely
ran away. But just as you say, like, that trauma, that's why I just said, like, you know, like, I don't hate this animal, or I don't, you know, I love animals, but I don't fully understand them. And maybe it's that trauma that blocked